This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset.
I'm just going to tell my son just to not be playing TV loud.
Bonds, you can go out there.
This is a cracking opener this week. Absolutely solid opener. We should call this episode Bonds, Don't Play the TV Loud. What an opener. Yeah. What an opener.
Sorry about that.
Patty, I'm not very well.
What is wrong with you?
Can you hear it?
Well, you just sound a bit snotty, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, head colds really mess with your head. They really fuck with your head.
You are talking to someone who had, I think, probably one of the worst head colds I have had in a long time.
Oh, my God. Saturday night into Sunday morning, I could not sleep.
I also think this is maybe a little bit, you know, self-inflicted. You've got to stop this whole, you know, burning the candle at both ends. You know, because you just can't handle it.
Exactly.
You know, spring chicken.
No, that is true.
Can you just give yourself a really big nose blow?
I've done that, but listen to my left nostril.
Oh, Patty, we don't need to hear.
I hope that makes it in.
What, your snotty nose?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. That's what people. Disgusting. There's a lot of people out there that would pay money to hear that. Ange, my OnlyFans account would love that.
I think that's just a step too far.
A step too far.
A snot too far.
Anyway, listen, I've got a question for you. How do you feel about gifts?
They actually get on my nerves quite a lot.
Same.
Gifts and memes, or people. Yeah. Some people call them memes.
I know. Some people call gifts GIFs.
GIFs.
It doesn't start with a J.
No. But what is a meme? And I don't even know the difference between a GIF and a meme. What is?
I think a GIF is animated. So a meme is. A meme is a still picture.
Oh, right. Okay. And a GIF is where there's movement.
Yeah. It's like a tiny little bit of animation. So it's somebody like rolling their eyes or waving.
Okay,
A meme or a meme. is a still picture with like writing or something.
I get you.
I think that is the difference.
Now, I don't mind a meme. Whatever the fuck it is. I don't mind them. It's the GIFs. My mate, Big Fat Sue.
Yeah.
She is obsessed with GIFs.
Well, I've got a couple of friends who are obsessed with GIFs. Obsessed with them. Like, you put something in a WhatsApp chat.
Yes.
Like, you know, even if it's just a conversation between you and them, like, you'll type something and they'll send back a GIF. I'm like, what are you trying to tell? What does that actually mean?
But also, it's just the hassle.
Oh,
like,
going
you have
through.
To go in and find one hell. That works with what you're trying to say. I mean, what, like, just write it. Or just, you know, give me a thumbs up.
Joey just put an absolutely sensational question in the chat. Who the fuck is Big Fat Sue and does she know you call her?
She does. She does. And she's actually in my phone as Big Fat Sue. Because her name is Sue. She's a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine, actually, Sue. She is slightly big. She is slightly fat. Big Fat Sue.
Please keep this in. Can this stay in, Ange? You've got to give. Can this stay in?
Do you know what? Big Fat Sue will love this shit. I mean, I don't know if she listens, to be honest, but I'll make sure she listens and tunes
into
this week. Because she, honestly, Big Fat Sue is one of the funniest people I know. She is hilarious. Yeah.
Amazing.
We went away last summer. There was a crew of about 40 of us that went away last summer. And we stayed in this like hostel. It was all very basic, but it was great. Yeah. And obviously the Beveragini's flowed. There were quite a few going on of an evening.
Yeah.
And there'd be tunes on, put some tunes on, all the rest of it. And basically Big Fat Sue... loves High School Musical.
She loves
the High School Musical shit, right?
Right.
And is the guy in High School Musical, is he called Troy?
Yes.
Yes, right. So she did this whole thing. So some High School Musical tunes came on. There's this one song. I can't remember what it is, but basically big fat Sue did the whole thing, running around like he would on a golf course, like giving it all the Troy moves, rolled down a hill.
Yes, honestly, yes, Sue.
She is so funny, and yeah, she's,
Sue is my kind of woman.
She's honestly, she's you'd love her. And she, yeah, she's, yeah, and obviously Big Fat Sue actually really comes from Gavin and Stacey.
Gavin and Stacey,
that's
yeah.
where it started.
Well, also because her husband's called Neil, so you yeah. call him Neil the baby, don't you?
Yeah, or just Baby Neil.
Baby Neil, yeah.
Yeah, so it's Big Fat Sue and Baby Neil.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they are brilliant people. Yeah, so Big Fat Sue, she's a big fan
of a GIF.
Of the GIFs. Yeah, yeah.
Shall we go into our newest segment?
Yes, I think we should, Pat. And,
now, you told us last week you were going to come up with a new song, because last week you said you were going to do a new song, and it wasn't. It was the yeah. same song with new lyrics. So
yeah, so actually, right, I've actually been working since last Monday on a new Urban Dictionary jingle with right. a couple of top DJs. Okay, I've kept this under wraps.
Right.
I told you anything about it because I wanted no. it to be a surprise for today. Okay, so okay. I would like to now play you the debut track titled Urban Dictionary featuring Angie on the decks. Okay. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary. Whenever I can chuck in a what, I chuck it in. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary. Yes, thank you, Patty. Thank you, DJ Tricky Dicky and DJ Jojo.
Oh my God. At one point in that, because I've got a head cold, I thought my head was going to explode because I was laughing so much. And because my nose is so blocked, I had to like really try and gather myself so that I didn't pass out. Because that, I think single-handedly, that is the funniest thing we have ever brought to this podcast. That, fucking sensational.
So there we go. There is the new jingle. I think we might need to cut it down.
Cut it down, a little bit.
Because
this episode's going to be 3 hours long.
You know, I've given you the full track, but full I think track. We can now... cut that down. We can.
Well, do you know what, Ange? What I'm going to say is, I think it is really important that our listeners get the full track first time,
totally.
First run
That's,
through.
Well, exactly.
You know, this is serious shit.
This is a new
shit.
Segment. We've got to give it the full shebang.
Oh God, that is so funny. Well, that was brilliant, and I'm now ready to hear your Urban Dictionary.
Okay, so the Urban Dictionary word I've chosen this yeah. week is
yeah,
squill.
Squill.
What do you think squill means?
Is it something sexual?
No, it's right. nothing to do with sexy time.
Okay, because that was my first thought. God, right. Ruth, head in the gutter. Fucking
exactly.
pull your head out, please.
Disgusting.
Squill.
Squill, yeah. Any more ideas past sexualization?
Squilling. Is there? Can it be longer? Can it be squilling? Or...
Well, it can be long, but it's not squilling.
Okay. I actually have no idea, yeah.
Okay, right. So, squill. Derived from squillionaire, squill.
Squillionaire? What's a squillionaire?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Fats.
Oh, right, okay.
Is a derogatory term for anyone who accumulates, flaunts, hoards, or otherwise possesses wealth beyond reason. And here are some little like ways you can use the word. Oh,
okay.
Look at that squill parking his Lambo in the bike lane. This fucking squill bought herself a Gucci handbag last week and gave $5 to my GoFundMe for insulin. My landlord raised the rent again, but they still won't fix the leaky roof. What a squill. Isn't that a great word?
Read the meaning again, because I loved it.
Okay. So, squill is a derogatory term for anyone who accumulates, flaunts, hoards, or otherwise possesses wealth beyond reason. I think my favourite use of that as well is, look at that squill parking his Lambo in the bike lane.
I tell you what, right? The squill is definitely the cough cough avo avo crew. It is. Isn't it?
That's exactly that is what the crew. I thought. Like, yes.
You apps. If you don't know what we're talking about, Ange and I have got a bit of a running joke about people. It started from Ange's hate of avocados. And it started from this, like, yeah, I'm just going to go and I'm going to go in my Land Rover and go to the gym and have a crushed avocado with chili and lime and, you know, God, yeah. And then I'm going to have a cough, 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 cough. And, you know, we've talked on previous episodes about how ridiculous coffee orders has got, you know, yes. Like, I want an extra hot, no foam, extra whipped, extra wet. Yeah.
But not wet.
That's the other thing, like, extra dry, extra wet. Like, it's that kind of vibe. And they are squills, aren't
squills.
They? Squills. I tell you where squilling would, or squills would fit a lot. Made in Chelsea.
Yeah, oh, God. There will
you
be
know, Francis,
squills
Francis Boulet, who I absolutely love. He's amazing. Don't know he's so who, funny.
Oh, I thought that was a woman then.
No, he's actually got a podcast as well called Private Parts. Very funny, but... You know, like, you know, they've inherited, like, not that there's anything wrong with that. There's, you know, there's nothing wrong with gaining inheritance from your family members further up the tree would have worked hard. But it's like, you know, yeah, you know, I'm just going to, oh, I'm such a squill. I'm just going to leave my Lambo
they
in
are,
the bike.
I mean, they are that exact squills. Word. Squills.
Yes. Yeah. Squills.
And I don't know if I've ever really, oh, I have met a few squills, actually.
Oh, God, yeah. We've definitely met a lot of squills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we could name them, but we won't because we might get sued.
We'll just keep that, you know, in our little minds, those squills.
We'll keep that under wraps.
Under wraps,
yeah, when you get to that stage where, well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you get to a stage, I suppose, with money where you think, fuck it, I can do what I want.
What,
if I want to park my Lambo in the bike
in
lane,
the bike
I'm
lane,
do it.
I will.
If I want to spend $800 on a Gucci handbag and then only give £5 to somebody since you didn't go for me, babe. Which is an excellent example.
About the Urban Dictionary, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, I had a look through it yesterday trying to pick my word that I wanted. And you go through, I mean, there are I've picked out a couple already for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But it's the whole, the description around the word and the examples of using that word in the sentence.
Oh, God. The examples
brilliant.
That they give are just
so
unreal.
Funny.
Like last week's when it was, I've hung the towels out. I've also lived on my own. You don't need to micromarriage me. Do you think you'll ever bring any sexual words? Because there's a lot of sexual words, isn't there?
There's a couple that I found, actually.
Is there that you're going to bring? Because I wasn't sure last week how to tee this up. But I think if there's one place that you and I can laugh, it's around sex. I mean, take that as you will. That's a good thing or a bad thing. Ange and I feel very comfortable laughing at sex and ourselves within sex.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's a couple that I found. I obviously won't, you know, spoil.
Well, give us one more. Give us a sexy one, and then we've done it, haven't we?
Okay, so the word is climax.
When you cry when you're climaxing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shall I give you the
yes,
description?
Definitely give the examples.
Okay. The ultimate show of vulnerability during sex, the act of bursting into tears at the point of orgasm or climax, can be either tears of joy, shame, or immediate regret.
Right, I now need to ask you, have you had any one of those three?
I've had all three, mate.
Okay, so...
Right, so, Pat, you are coming with the shitting tits, yeah. Okay, come on then, give us what you got, mate.
I talked about a little bit about this on my Instagram stories. Roadworks.
Oh, God, man, yes.
Right.
What is with that shit?
Did you know there's an added layer to this for me? There's an added layer,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
We have been living in a fucking pandemic for 2 years, right?
Yes.
Nobody's been on the roads. We have had a stay-at-home order.
Stay-at-home orders, yeah.
The government have actually said to us in the past 18 months, you cannot leave your house but for essential reasons. I'm running out of breath, can you tell?
Yes, breathe.
I love it when people do that. We have been told by the government, I'm really hot, I'm overheating, this cold is really getting to me, I'm absolutely fucking bored, I'm sweating my shitting tits off here.
Have you had some paracetamol,
stupid. I haven't. I should have taken some before we started. What? Yes. Record. Anyway, listen. So I was driving to work the other day, and I work a little bit away from where I live. Not far, like 40 minutes. Nice. Every nice. Fucking road. Roadworks. And I thought, right, you work outside. You could have continued this job.
Yeah.
Because it's an essential service. We need our roads.
Yeah.
You Why could have now? All of these. This I drove past one massive set of shitting roadworks for these three potholes that have been near where we live for about 4 years. That is no joke, right? And I'm driving down the road thinking, so schools have just gone back.
Yeah.
We're now no longer in a pandemic. And you decide that the right time to fix these potholes is now.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, I was getting, you know, when you're in your car and you can feel yourself getting more, and then people start to piss you off because you're like, oh, and you're a fucking dickhead too. Like, you know, when you get to that point.
You are sounding very much like me in this rant.
Well, it is really stark because, and I could feel myself getting so angry because then somebody cut me up and I was like, for fuck's sake, what the, you do want to start, do you? I've just had a go at the roadmen back there. Fucking arsehole.
They are so annoying, though.
Honestly!
And I think now, I think you add that into, and obviously, you know, we haven't actually touched on this yet, Pat, but
no.
Fuelgate.
Oh, God.
I thought I was stuck in traffic, roadworks, whatever the shit might be, right? Yeah, even that was pissing me off, right?
Yeah, but then you pissing me off.
Pissing me off. You get to the point where you think the issue is, and it's, oh, no, it's just a load of wankers queuing for fuel.
Do you know what? Do you know what I want to say to those people, right?
Mm.
We were told we might run out of loo roll. We weren't going to you dickheads rocked up and bought
going mental.
14 packets to keep in your garage.
Yeah.
We are probably not going to run out of fuel, or we probably weren't going to run out of fuel until people started to fill up jerry cans. I love using that word.
Why are they called jerry cans?
I don't know, but somebody said to me, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember. Somebody said, oh, you know, it would be fine, but the petrol stations need to stop people filling up jerry cans. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did but you see that meme that was going around with somebody on a forecourt, a BBC presenter, and it said,
oh, yeah,
Phil and McCann. His name was Phil McCann. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that was his name. I think somebody had created that for a joke.
I think so, Pats. Yeah, I think that's probably what's happened there. Yeah.
But roadworks, honestly.
Yeah. They are extremely frustrating. And I'm totally with you, Pat, because like you say, we had 18 months of nobody going anywhere.
Yeah.
So why the hell have you not been out doing all this shit then? Why
we even
now?
Had 6 weeks of summer holidays where the schools weren't back, which means the traffic's lighter than anyway.
Yeah.
Why have you started to do this on the 15th of September?
Do you think it's because of like the restrictions around councils and stuff during the pandemic? Do you think that was why like staff were furloughed and all that sort of
shit? Do you know what, Ange?
Mm.
I don't give a shit. I do not shiv a git right now about what constraints they had. What I'm getting annoyed at is that those potholes that have been there for best part of 4 years, you've decided to fix them, at the most busiest. We know September to Christmas is the busiest time on the roads. We know that because, you know, new kids have started secondary school and parents are like, I'll take your little Johnny for the first term so you're not having to walk. I want to make sure you're okay. And then after Christmas, parents don't give a shit. They're like, you can walk yourself. I've done it for the first time.
You can do the 5 miles on your own now, Johnny.
You're on your own now, mate.
Joe's just said that Phil McCann was real.
What?
Yeah. He's actually
Phil McCann was real.
Yes. So there is actually a real life Phil McCann.
And he was at the petrol station.
Yeah. Yeah. Dealing with jerry cans. Phil McCann, jerry can.
Oh, the BBC of Phil. I'm reading the Guardian article Isha sent us. The Phil McCann, the BBC have pulled a blinder there.
So it is real. It is
Phil
McCann.
Real.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have pulled an absolute blinder with that. Well done. Well done. Yeah. Bravo.
Nice work. Nice work.
Bravo to the BBC. That is what we pay our license fee for.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a dickish behaviour in from Vicky on the gram, and she said, Hendus, why does everyone need to have so many now?
Oh, God.
What is it
so
about?
So many, and so long.
And so expensive.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, Sandra is getting married in 6 months' time. We're going to do we're actually going to do three hen do's. We're going to do one, we're just going to go to this sort of local cottage place down in Devon. We're going to do that for a few nights.
And that's going to cost you 150 quid. But don't worry, because you get cocktail making and a two-course dinner.
And you get butlers in the buff.
Yeah.
So you'll get some buttocks to look at.
Yeah.
And then we're actually going to do a week in Prague, which is actually going to cost you $2,000. But again, there's going to be a lot of extras you're going to get there. And then the week before Sandra actually gets married, we're going to do a two-night weekend in a spa that's going to cost you around $500. So really, if you can give me $3,000 up front, that'll cover all your expenses for Sandra's three-week hen do. I mean, what the fuck is that about?
Matthew got invited to a stag do once, right? And they were going to Portugal to play golf, okay?
Yeah.
And he got sent the breakdown of the cost. And I think it was like $2,500 for 3 days in Portugal. No joke. Mm,
that is ridiculous.
And so we were like, we can't really afford that. Like, I was only working part time. Matthew wasn't in a greatly paid job at the time. And we were just like, we don't have that sort of money.
No.
Like, kudos to people who do, but we don't have $2,500. Anyway, he then got a follow up email that said, just to let you know, that $2,500 doesn't cover you being able to take your golf clubs on the flight. That's an extra £250.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, right, so you're telling me all the extras I get to play this amount of rounds of golf at these three different great golf courses in Portugal. That's all included in the cost. It's a lovely hotel. Oh, but by the way, if you actually want to be able to partake in that golf, it's an extra £250.
What? I mean, it's just mental.
It is stupid.
Why has that even become a thing now? That everyone
it's American. It's American, isn't it?
It's the Americans again, isn't it?
It's, you know, it's like bachelorette parties are massive, aren't they, over there? It's like the whole baby shower thing.
Baby showers aren't for like, you know, a week at a time, are they? I know
they're getting bigger, aren't they? It's like now it used to be like a few mates around your house and you'd have, a couple of cupcakes. And
I do not like this whole balloon popping shit, whether you get the blue or the pink.
So gender reveal. I was just about to come on to that.
Gender reveal party.
So I feel like baby showers used to be a couple of your closest friends, you know, the maternal and paternal grandparents round your house, few cupcakes, bit of food. Amazing. Yeah. We're going to celebrate you. We're so excited. You'd bring some gifts. Now it's like I've hired the Grand Hall at the Luton Hoo and I'm going to have
the
300.
What?
The Luton Hoo, that's a hotel. It's a flashy hotel.
That's very random. You've gone there.
I've hired the Grand Hall at some swanky hotel, and I'm gonna have 150 people there. Even people that I wouldn't even class my girlfriends, but I'm just gonna invite them so it looks good.
Do you think that shit though is getting shit? Like the more people you invite to that stuff, the more gifts you get. Do you think that's a bit of
no?
It
I think
well?
It's about showing off.
Showing off, yeah.
I think it comes back to this like birthday party thing that we talked about.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's like, who can outdo each other with hen do's, gender reveals, baby showers? Like, who can have the biggest pissing contest?
Yeah.
Like, who can outdo? Oh, no, well, Jackie had it at her baby shower last week. Believe it or not, she only had 50 people there. Fuck you, Jackie. You wait till you come to mine.
Yes.
Like,
I'm
it's
gonna
all
have
that,
double
isn't
that.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, balloon arches and, you know, the gender reveal shit.
Like, everyone's just bloody doing it now.
Oh. Well, there's loads of different ways. And they're like, I watched one the other week. It was one of the girls from Made in Chelsea. And she was like, I really wanted my boyfriend to feel part of it. So they went off into the woods and he whacked a golf ball and blue powder came out. Because she was like... So it starts, this little video starts with them like walking through, there was like this song playing behind it. They're holding hands, they're looking at each other. You know, it's like, this is bollocks. This is
makes me want to vom, actually.
Yeah,
it makes me want to vom that.
Nobody's that happy, guys. Nobody's that happy. I don't care who you are. So they're walking through the woods and they're holding hands and looking at each other. And then he puts, the description underneath, she was like, I really wanted him to feel like he was part of this and it wasn't just me revealing the gender of our baby. So we decided to do something sporty and active.
Oh,
and
God.
In this video, he puts this golf ball down, he takes a swing of it, he hits it and blue powder goes everywhere. And she starts crying. She drops to her knees and starts crying.
Oh,
He scoops her up and they're like, and it's like, gosh. Oh, good God.
Oh.
Look, I feel like if couples want to find out the sex, that is a totally personal thing. That's fine. If they want to tell people,
but you
that's
don't
fine.
Need to like make it a big bloody show, do you?
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely agreed. So, Ange, we're going to shine the spotlight on you a little bit today, aren't we, in our final section?
We are, Pats, yes.
And I think you have decided that it's, you know, you'd like to share with us a little bit about what's been going on for you with regards to your mental health recently.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt it was, because I had put a bit on my social media, not a huge amount, but I had put a bit on back in the sort of summer that, you know, sort of saying that I hadn't had a great few weeks. Things have been a bit tricky and a bit tough.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just felt it would maybe be a good thing to talk about, and I think it'd be good for me to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in turn, hope that that's helpful to other people at the same time. So, yeah, I just thought
I think, firstly, from me and all the people that listen to Finding the Funny, I always think it's such a privilege when people share stuff with you that is difficult and is hard. Mm. So, and I know that what we're going to talk about and the things that you're going to share with us will help others. So I just came up with a couple of questions that I thought might help to steer the conversation really about what sort of happened. So I suppose my first question is, when did you realize that things weren't okay?
So I think weirdly a lot of it had stemmed from losing Roxy. I think that was kind of a bit of a point in my life that absolutely shook me and was just such a shock to my whole like system, because it wasn't expected. You know, one minute she was here, the next minute she was gone, and it absolutely floored me more than I probably really realized at the time. And I think I've always been the kind of person that just kind of, you know, gets on with it. I'm just get on with it, Ange, you'll be fine. Just, you know, it'll be fine, it'll get better, you'll be okay.
Do you think that's compounded that grief then?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably what happened. And I think I probably did just keep going for quite a while, just kept pushing through. I had a lot of kind of extra pressure from the jobs that I do. There was a lot kind of on my plate that I was having to juggle a lot of the time. And then I think adding in, which sounds really weird, but I think then adding our new puppy into the mix, Luna, who, like, I absolutely adore, but I think it actually probably was just too much, and I didn't really acknowledge that. Or wasn't really prepared for that, I think. And it just literally got just way too much. And I just felt like everything was just piling on top of me. I was struggling to just manage everything. I was struggling to look after myself, look after this puppy, look after my family. And I just felt like I was drowning. That's kind of how I can describe it. And I'm normally quite a happy, quite a chirpy, I am quite a sort of, you know, fun sort of person to be around. And I actually felt, I'm not saying that to like blow my own trumpet, but that's how I am a lot of the time. And I just found that I just wasn't that person. And I just found myself being really low and sad and crying. I was just like, I remember like I was making like some kind of chili or curry or something in the kitchen, and I'm just literally stood at the hob just crying my eyes out, and I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, there's something not right here.
Well, it was traumatic, wasn't it?
It was
a traumatic life experience, and you've probably had other traumatic experiences that you have buried, but you couldn't bury this one.
No, and I think I've probably spent so much of my life making sure everyone else is okay, looking after everyone. You know, that's you know, I'm the oldest of three, you know, siblings, and I think I just kind of found myself, I've always been that person, I've always been in that role where I've just looked after everybody else. That's just how I am. And I think it was beginning to dawn on me that actually I probably didn't really look after myself so well sometimes. I didn't give myself enough sort of space and time. I didn't look after me as much as I should have done. And I think the whole losing Roxy and the way that just kind of, compounded me, then kind of made me sort of start to think, actually, this isn't right. I'm not feeling right. And I knew that I had to kind of try and sort it out and get some help, because it was getting to the point where actually I was feeling like I was kind of losing control over everything. And that was, I don't think I've ever actually really felt like that before. I found it really, really scary to a certain extent, because I'm normally the person that holds everything together and holds everyone else together, you know, whether that's being a mum, being a sister, being a daughter, being a wife, being a friend, you know, I'm just wired that way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I felt like I wasn't actually in control of any of that. And I definitely wasn't in control of myself.
But I think what's really interesting is that as human beings, we can't do that forever.
Oh, totally.
We can't make sure everybody else is okay over and above ourselves. And that doesn't mean that we don't care and we don't find points to be selfless or kind or all of those things. But it just means there's an acknowledgement and a realization that I matter too. And I think you have always been the one that has said, I don't really matter that much. And I think you know, when I watched you in that time and we had conversations about it and, you know, I tried as much as I could to just kind of listen and reassure you. But what was happening was this traumatic, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, that exploded the volcano. And there had been all this stuff bubbling. And, you know, I think similarly, like me, when you entered your 40s, there was a bit of a acknowledgement and an unraveling and a bit of a like, God, what does this mean? But you quickly moved on and got through that, and you thought you'd packed that away, really.
Yeah.
And then when this trauma hit you of like, God, how can life be so fine one minute and then not fine the next? How can this metaphorical bomb have such an impact? How can you be here and then gone?
Yeah.
And that is terrifying, because I think you then start to think, God, everybody else in my life could be here and then gone.
Totally. I said it when I spoke about, you know, losing Rocks, that I'm very fortunate that, you know, we've got both of our parents, and, you know, I've never really lost.
No.
You know, I've lost aunts and uncles who I've been very close to and you know, I've loved, but it's a very different relationship.
It is.
And I don't think I'd ever really experienced that sort of like level of grief before. I never had. And I think it just absolutely whacked me in the face.
Yeah.
And I think it then kind of that, and then lots of other things going on in my life that just kind of felt like they were just piling on top of me.
Mm.
And you know, I think as well, like, I knew that I wasn't managing. I knew I wasn't coping, but I kind of didn't really know what to do. Like, how do I sort this out? And I remember actually, it was you and you know, as quite often, you know, my 15-year-old daughter just coming out with like this wisdom of like a 50-year-old woman, just said to me, Mum, you've got to talk to somebody. You've got to get some help, because like she knew, well, all, you know, all of my family could tell things weren't right. I remember there was one time I'd cooked tea for everyone, sat at the table together eating my tea, and I'm literally, tears are just rolling down my face, and I'm like, what it like? And I was like, I was apologizing. I'm like, I'm really sorry. I don't quite know what's wrong with me. I just feel like I'm out of control. I can't control my emotions. And I think as well, because I'm quite a smiley person, I remember like actually acknowledging that I wasn't smiling. And that was a real shock to me, because that's just not my nature at all. I was like, I'm not smiling. I'm not laughing about stuff. I'm not finding any joy or happiness in anything. That's what I remember, just sort of like figuring out that.
Well, you were depressed, weren't you?
Yes.
Let's own it for what it was. You were and I remember the conversation we had on the way back from Bude in the car, just the two of us. And I remember saying to you, Andrew, I think you're depressed. Mm. And I think we have this notion that depression has to come after this. I mean, you had had a life-changing experience, but, you know, has to come after the death of a parent or the loss of a house or, you know, being made redundant and having no money. You know, like that whole age-old saying, which I think we're steering away from now, but like, what have you got to be depressed about? Well, actually, depression is just a chemical imbalance in one's brain that you can't get back. So, and I think, you know, that conversation, it, like, you know, you were depressed. Mm. There is no doubt about it. You were depressed. Like,
definitely. That is definitely how I was feeling. I was depressed. That's how I was feeling.
And so what did you do? That was my question. What did you do about it?
So I called my doctor. And obviously, as with most practices at the moment, everything is still kind of over the phone. So I called up and I got an appointment and the doctor called me. It was actually the Thursday before we went away together to Bude, us three, and it was the Thursday morning, and I was so thankful for this doctor that I spoke to. She was absolutely lovely, and literally she said to me, "Hi, Andrew, how can I help you?" And I just burst into tears, and you know, when you're trying to like talk and cry, and I just said to her, I said, I'm feeling the lowest I've ever felt. I don't quite know what's wrong with me, but I know that I need to do something to help me and kind of get myself feeling better. And we had a long conversation, and there was some kind of, I think because I, you know, I have an underactive thyroid, and sometimes your thyroid can kind of affect things. And I'm, as I've spoken about before, I'm on HRT, and sometimes that's just not quite right. So there were a few things we talked about, and it's like, well, we could tweak this, we could tweak that. And then she said to me, and the other alternative, Andrea, is for you to try a low dose of antidepressants. Yeah. And she said, obviously, that's entirely up to you. And she kind of explained how it would help. And, you know, there's some side effects to that, but they don't last long. And and I think I knew that's what I needed. I kind of knew it wasn't any of the other things. Mm. And so I agreed that, you know, I would start taking these antidepressants. And so I got the prescription, and it probably took about 2 weeks for them to really sort of start to make a difference. Like I could start to feel a difference in me. And actually I'll never forget, because it was probably, about like, I don't know, 10 days or so later. And, I remember just being in the lounge with my daughter, and there was something that happened, or some, I don't know, that Ian did something funny, or Joel or whatever. And I remember just like laughing, like that real sort of deep belly laugh. And it actually like woke me up. I was like, oh my gosh, I have not laughed like that in a really long time. It was a real kind of wake up moment. I just thought, okay, I think I'm starting to kind of feel better. Me again. And then sort of just, as the weeks have gone on, I've just felt more and more myself. And it's really been a huge thing for me to go through, because I've been close to lots of people that have gone through depression and had kind of those episodes in their life that have been, but I've never really experienced that. And I think for the first time I've really acknowledged how awful that can be, and how I am so grateful for the people I have in my life that were able to cut, because sometimes you know something's not right, but you don't really acknowledge it, or you don't want to acknowledge it. And it's not until the people you're with that go, Angie, you're right. Is everything okay? You don't see yourself. And so I'm so grateful for the people in my life that were aware of maybe the shift in me. And actually I spoke to a really good friend of mine a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, but she said to me, the last time I saw you, Anne, she said, I thought, Anne doesn't seem herself. And she said, I didn't say anything to you at the time, because, or maybe, you know, maybe you just weren't having a great day or whatever. But she said, now I know what was going on. She said, I knew something wasn't right. I knew you weren't yourself. So I'm just,
go on. You know, I think that you've talked about the people that you've got around you in your life, and we similarly, as one of those people, we're so grateful for you. And I think I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you standing up to this stuff. It's really hard. It's really, really hard when our mental health is low. It's really hard to dig into the depths of us. It's really hard. It takes hard work. It takes huge guts. I put a post up on Instagram about brokenness and weakness being completely different things. You know, when we feel broken, there's a hope that we can be rebuilt. And it's not weak to acknowledge any of this stuff. It's not weakness. It's absolutely not. But, you know, you have taken the bull by the horns with this, and you have said, I'm not going to let this finish me. That takes huge guts. And then to come into a space like this where we get an all right amount of people listening, it's not world changing, but we get an, you know, and to say, actually, I want somebody who's got their headphones in right now to feel perhaps less alone with what they're walking. That also takes guts. And you should be so proud of yourself in a really non-patronizing way.
I know, Paz,
You should be so proud of how you have... Yeah, it's actually made me cry a little bit.
Me too. But yeah, I just... I'm feeling so much better. I'm feeling more me. I think the thing that I now know I need to do... And again, I know we've spoken lots about this, Pats. I know I need to actually go and get some therapy or some counselling. I need to actually kind of talk about some of the stuff maybe that I have just kind of, you know, pushed to the back of my mind and not really ever dealt with. Like the antidepressants tablets have definitely helped to kind of correct that imbalance and made me feel, you know, more me, more stable. And I feel now that like this is probably a good time to go and get some of that. And
we've now got a time stamp for that, haven't we? 14:18 on the 27th of September 2021.
Yes.
And just put it out there, this episode will never go anywhere now. It'll be on all major platforms forever.
Yes.
So there is an accountability that our listeners can now message you and say, you got to therapy, Ange? You got to therapy, that, Ange? That was 3 weeks ago you spoke about that on the podcast. You got to therapy, Ange?
I know, and that is true. I do need to do it, and I will do it, because I know that the kind of the two now, the, you know, the sort of medication to sort of correct my brain. I need to sort of do that. And
sometimes, you know, you can't go into therapy until that chemical imbalance has been fully sorted. You know, you can't make, depression is called the black fog. That's what Stephen Fry calls it. And you understand why. It's like this heaviness that comes over you that you can't see. It's like that thick, horrible, dark fog that nobody likes driving in because it feels so terrifying. And you can't see what's coming around the corner, and you're just constantly, like, you know, feeling your way through. And, you know, it's sometimes we need that to lift, and then we think, right, I can now make sense of some of the things that, that have gone on, and I could sit with a therapist and start to talk about some of that stuff. So, you know, look, you started on the journey, and you know that there's more work to do. And we never stop doing that work, do we, really? We never stop looking at ourselves and making sure we're the best version of ourselves that we can be. And, you know, digging deep and reflecting and analysing and having people around us that challenge us and tell us when we're being out of order and tell us when we need to get some help. You know, that is all part of managing our mental health and emotional well-being. So
I think as well, like for me, I think a big part of that for me is the example I set to my children. Like you know, that they witnessed me really struggling in the summer, like that that it was, you know, I couldn't hide any of that stuff. It was plainly obvious things weren't right, and I wasn't right, and I didn't feel right. And I think for me, I really want to make sure that I am an example to them that actually, do you know what, this is life, this is what happens sometimes. You know,
absolutely. And you're actually a model, haven't you?
You know, I spoke to someone, I got some help, now I need to kind of do that next part of
phase,
sort of just kind of managing myself and understanding myself and talking about some of the things that maybe I don't talk about. And I think you know, I just want that to be an example to them that actually you know, when these things happen, there are ways of
manage it,
of managing it and making yourself feel better. And and it's nothing you should ever be ashamed of, and nothing that you should never feel like you can't talk to people about and get the help you need. So that as well is important to me.
Well, look, what a great episode. Feels like we've been on a roller coaster.
Bloody hell, yeah.
We've absolute roller coaster. We've both cried. Everything. I don't think we've both cried in an episode before. No. I think one of us has cried, but I don't think
we've
both.
Would that be classed as a climax?
Listen, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email. hello@ruthcorden.com.
But we hope you have a fantastic week. And we will be back right here helping you to find more of the funny.